Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Time for a few recommendations on what to watch on our screens, big and small, over the coming week now. Radio producer Owen Sweeney.
How are you?
And freelance film writer Esther McCarthy, who is also the Irish correspondent for Screen International, join me now. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Brendan.
Owen, Emma Donoghue was speaking to me a few weeks ago on the show about the adaptation of her book, The Wonder, and she certainly seems very happy with it. What do you reckon?
This is the latest from the stable. She was in great hands, obviously. It is Element Pictures, of course, who had great success with Room. They adapted her novel Room. They've also adapted famously the works of Sally Rooney, Normal People in Conversation with Friends, for television. She's well happy with it. She was at the screening the other week, and it is in cinemas for 2 weeks, I think, to make it eligible for Oscar consideration, and then it'll be streaming on Netflix. I would advise people, if they don't, well, certainly if they don't have Netflix, Brendan, but if they want to see it in the big screen and without distractions of the kettle in the other room, or maybe the same room, etc.,
so it's worth
Netflix,
the cinema, is it?
It's worth the cinema. I definitely feel that every frame, it's sumptuous. It's great to see Ireland in the 1860s, post-famine Ireland, rendered in such vivid colours and with such life, and a slowly unfolding tale that doesn't tally too long in telling or revealing itself, but also the references to the famine
won't
are
tally
subtle.
Too long either.
No, the references to the famine are subtle, but food is very much foregrounded. The life is vibrant. There's a struggle between the old ways and the new ways. But Florence Pugh excels in this film. Good name for a woman to play a nurse. She plays a nightingale nurse, no less, fresh from the Crimea. She's brought over to investigate a tale as old as time of this child who seemingly stays alive without food for 4 months. The committee is helmed by the likes of Ciarán Hinds as the parish priest, and Toby Jones, who does a more than passable Irish accent, as the local doctor. Herself and a nun are doing this 24-hour watch, and she wants to get scientifically to the bottom of it. She's fleeing her own trauma, and she's kind of investigating, I suppose, the relationship that the Irish people have with themselves, with the church, and with England 20 years after the famine.
Sounds excellent. It's well
worth the watch.
An elemental piece of cinema, you might say.
I see what you did there.
So it's cinemas from Wednesday, and then Netflix in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Esther, another Irish one in cinemas next week, and then I think Netflix the week after. And My Father's Dragon, this is from the very highly regarded Kilkenny studio Cartoon Saloon.
I mean, what a strike rate they have, Brendan. Five feature films from Kilkenny's Cartoon Saloon. Every single one of them got a nomination for Best Animated Feature in the Oscars. So no pressure on Nora Toomey. A good Cork woman, a director who, she's from East Cork, and she's following up her Oscar-nominated film, The Breadwinner, with this lovely story. A little bit more commercial, I think it's fair to say, than we've seen from the studio before.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, and not to take away from the wonderful films they've given us so far. But this is about the story of a young boy who's struggling with these changes in his life. He moves to the city with his mother, and he kind of, it's an adaptation of Ruth Stile Gannett's 1948 book, so it's set in that period, and it's voiced, the young boy Elmer, it's voiced by Jacob Tremblay, who you'll remember from Room, who was so fabulous in that. He runs away in this search of a place called Wild Island and a young dragon who needs to be rescued. The animation is every bit as stunning as you'd expect from the studio, and their quality control is striking, I think, in what is again a very successful period for the Irish animation industry.
Okay, so it sounds like a little bit of magic there, is it, for all the family, really?
Yeah. It's really lovely. Yeah, it's really lovely. This. And the colour just jumps off the screen.
There's nothing like something lovely now and again, is there? I want to go away from Ireland for a minute. The White Lotus is back. I think the whole series drops on Sky tomorrow for people, doesn't it?
I'm not entirely sure, actually, if it's just the first episode on Sky.
They dole them out, yeah.
I think it's a week by week on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. You can catch up on Now TV. It's a much loved series, obviously set in luxurious Sicily, welcoming amongst others Aubrey Plaza, who I would say is Italian American. I can be corrected on that, but she's a great character actress, and people will know her very much from the likes of Parks and Rec and things like that. It's Jennifer Coolidge, obviously. it's much loved. It was one of those lockdown hits, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And Jennifer Coolidge is outstanding in it. She was great as well in in The Watcher last week. She's becoming a great kind of character actress, isn't she? As she goes on.
Yes, indeed. And kind of, I suppose, moving away from the ensemble piece. Well, she's always got an ensemble.
Stifler's mom.
You beat me to it. Exactly. And seen in a different light. And kind of, I suppose, poking fun and kind of having a nose around the lives of the super privileged and not so nice as well. But Coolidge is impeccable in this. And so it is one that you can catch up. I think there were 6 in series one. You can catch up now TV, and probably if you've the Sky Atlantic, catch up and all that.
But and the first like episode. And it's like a holiday in a nice location as well.
Well, there is a bit of that as well. It's always good to kind of, in the depths of winter, to look at sunny Sicily.
Esther, we've mentioned a few times here the peculiar sensation of being Pat Inglesby, and indeed he remains one of my favourite guests we've ever had on the show. So it's on general release from Friday, and it's a wonderful film, isn't it?
It's lovely. And I too grew up watching TV presented by a man with a chicken on his head. And so this was a joy. Yeah, this was a joy. Absolutely. It's directed by an interesting man, actually, because he has already an award winning career as a conflict photographer, a guy by the name of Seamus Murphy. But in recent years, he's trained his lens on documentary filmmaking and collaborated with PJ Harvey in a really interesting film, actually, called A Dog. Called Money a few years ago. But this is him. I think he has the sense to let Inglesby march to his own beat and realise that this is almost a stream of consciousness rather than a standard documentary. And sure, would we have it any other way? It includes contributors, including Imelda May, who is a big fan of Inglesby growing up in her childhood. And it tells something I didn't know, actually, about how childhood illness first fashioned his passion for reading and you know, creating a path to his writings and poetry. He had polio as a child, and he talks very vividly about his father carrying him down the stairs every morning and reading all of these wild, kind of far beyond his age reach, kind of novels to him. So very affectionate memories of that time. Yeah. And as you know, every bit as quirky and colourful, I think, as its subject matter, which is how it should be.
Yeah. And that's a peculiar sensation of being Pat Inglesby, and on general release from Friday. And indeed, the polio has come around to get Pat again towards the end of his life. Owen, our own Anna Haugh has taken over MasterChef The Professionals, which is BBC One. Is it on for 3 nights next week on BBC One?
It's on for 3 nights. I was talking to her during the week, actually, because I wanted clarification on a few things, obviously. But she's doing great. Guns over on the BBC. MasterChef Professionals, BBC One, Wednesday and Thursday at 9 o'clock and Friday at 8 o'clock. It's on then 3 or 4 nights a week after that. There's 32 contestants. It is the purest choice of competitive cookery programmes. The BBC call it the most revered cooking competition. She herself says it's the best cookery show. As I say, at 32, they whittle them down to one winner. It's mad. Like they obviously, it's a closed set. These are professional chefs. She and Marcus Waring and Greg Wallace, of course, are the trio that helm this programme. And we'll see it to its conclusion, grim or otherwise. But she's not alone. Fraternise with them. She's not like know anything about them, in case obviously they know people in common, as you would in any industry, I suppose. It's small enough, and it's very much what happens on the day. So it's quite tense. It's quite
it is
pure in its execution.
People might think this is another cooking show, but it is. It's sharp and tense.
I'm getting tense describing it here. And for example, just as a little taster for Wednesday, the skills test set by Anna is she gives them 20 minutes to open oysters and serve them poached and smoked in a Burr Blanc sauce. So what could be easier than that?
Yeah, let's hope nobody loses a hand there. Okay, and Esther, finally, for the night that's in it tomorrow, you've a recommendation back to quality Irish material. T.G. Cahir are rocked tomorrow night.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think this lost a little bit of its audience with all the cinema closures during the pandemic. So I'm delighted to see this getting a high profile premiere on T.G. Cahir tomorrow night. They co-funded it, actually, so it's fitting that it be on there. It's a wonderful, wonderful film, written and directed by Tom Sullivan. And it's this kind of poignant tale, I suppose, of grace and tragedy, starring an actor by the name of Donal O'Haley, who plays Colman Sharkey. He's this West of Irish fisherman who works and lives to protect his family as the potatoes start to rot in the fields and famine looms. But this is a thriller. It's kind of a bit reminiscent of a more artistic, maybe Black 47, where there's a proper gunfight that ends very badly, a series of bloody events. Of course, politically geared around the relationship between Ireland and Britain. But it's absolutely beautiful. I think it's such an exciting time for Irish language cinema at the moment.
Absolutely. Thanks, Esther McCarthy, and thanks, Owen Sweeney.